Today's gospel reading is a continuation of John. We have one more week with John. And this is, again, John has a tendency to repeat. And this is kind of a repeat of some thoughts, but I think maybe we can bring some light to it. This from chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples before the supper. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord. We have been repeating and repeating and repeating for the last couple of months, since the beginning of Lent even, that we are never, ever, ever separated from God. And we talked about and illustrated how being a part of the experience of God is something that never, ever changes. However we choose to live our lives, however we perceive the world, however we see ourselves, whatever is going on in us, God continues to be one with us. We in God, God in us. Jesus makes that very clear to his disciples, who are very fearful of what's going to happen because he says he's going away. We dropped in on that for a moment last week to talk a little bit about how that feeling of abandonment can be overwhelming. And I wrestle with these things every week, trying to come up with something new, you know, some kind of a variation, some little bit of a twist to kind of make this sing a bit. And it wasn't until yesterday morning that it struck me that there was something very powerful here. We take for granted, I think, that Jesus said, I'm going to send you an advocate. And we all understand that in our theology to be the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to guide us. We pray for guidance of the Spirit. We call upon the creative Spirit to help us to see and be as God would have us see and be, etc. And that is one of our communiques with God, is the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, Rachel Johnson organized a walk for suicide prevention. Katie. Why did I say Rachel? Because my head hurts here. Anyway, Katie. And she did a great job organizing this, and 200 people were there, and it was successful, really successful. And interestingly, there were a couple of speakers before the talk began who made us aware, made us very sensitive to the reality that suicide is something, and mental illness is something that we don't talk about enough. And people are still kind of stigmatized if they end up going for treatment in some areas. If you happen to be in the military, for example, going for treatment is not a good thing to do, because even though it's something necessary, you end up stigmatized because of that. And certainly in the larger culture, too, if you are somehow tagged as mentally ill or having suffering from mental illness, or emotionally overwrought or whatever, that somehow there's something not quite normal with you. And that's a very lonely place. One of the gentlemen presented a chart with all different colors on it, and they talk about these bands, and every color has a different meaning. Light, for example, is if you lost a child to suicide or mental health. And blue was this, and red was that, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm a purple. And a purple is someone who has lost a friend, suicide, mental illness. And when I did the invocation, I started off by saying, I'm a purple because I lost a friend. It leveled the playing field. We were all able to identify with each other. And I had a great sense of communion there. And I said to them during the prayer, I think so many of us look for somehow the presence of God in our lives. And I think what we have here this morning is the very presence of God in a way that no other possibility could create. Because when people come together to take care of, to support, to be a part of something life-giving and give hope, because remember, hope is not getting what we want. Hope is getting life out of something, whatever happens to us in our lives. That's hope. We will find a way to give life. And I got to thinking about the young man, my friend. And I realized that after all these years, and this goes back to I was at St. George, that would have been in 1989, 88. He was a 33-year-old man who was struggling with a lot of issues, and he came to me because I was the spiritual person. And after speaking with him for a bit, I had him connect with a psychiatrist. And he was working very closely with the psychiatrist. For about 6 months, he was making progress. He was also working with his wife. They were a young couple, only married a couple of years, and they were hoping to have children. And she was very, very distraught. And so the tensions in the relationship and the tensions in the extended family were great and getting greater. And one day, even though he was making a lot of progress, I had met with him in the morning. We had some prayer. He was leaving my office to go to the psychiatrist right after, which he did. He kept the appointment. And later on that afternoon, he drove his truck into the woods and took his life. And I've had a lot of loneliness in my life, but I had never felt so absolutely alone in my whole life. And then the weeks and the months that followed his suicide. I had a hard time imagining, as we all do when something like this happens, what didn't I do? What could I have done better? How could we have made a difference? How could I have maybe done something with the family, with the wife? Somehow, you know, you second guess everything that you've done, and there is no answer. And all the questions that arise and all the feelings that you have, there's no place to put them because it doesn't make sense. There's no reason around it. And for the longest period of time, I had a difficult time not just accepting the reality, but trying to deal with the sense of abandonment that he must have felt when he did that. And I've learned subsequent to that that a lot of studies have been done, and they say that a person in a suicidal situation or even in a mental illness situation, they can rally and do very, very well for a while. But you have no control when the moment will come when they will finally have the courage to address whatever demon it is that they have not conquered at that point. And just give into it because they have enough strength and goodness over the period of healing that's gone on to one day just do what they could never do before. That brings some rationale to the whole thing, but it makes me understand something even greater than that. We never know what's behind a person's face. As much as we know each other, even in our own families, as much as we know each other, as much as we have connection with each other, we are never certain of what is going on in someone's mind. It takes a long time, I believe, to get to a place where you feel completely isolated and abandoned, where that abandonment is almost blinding. You can't feel anymore. Where all you can see is the negative about yourself. and there is no out, there's no light, there's nothing there. And there are people, brothers and sisters, who walk around with this every day. You may work with some of them. You may know some individuals who fall into that category. But if statistics are true, 95% of the people who are doing this never, ever, ever give you an indication that that's what's going on. The people who suffer in silence are in a very lonely place. And unfortunately, our religious teaching around Jesus, because I had this part of this conversation with Ralph, that's my friend, we talked about this whole thing, and you know, our teaching is that the suffering that you go through is somewhat redeeming. We call it redemptive suffering. You know, we learned as kids that, you know, if you put up with a little bit of hurt in your life, you're really racking up a lot of points with God because you're continuing the fight and you go out there and be good and all is well. And unless that somehow is corrected, unless somehow reason and understanding human nature somehow is brought to bear, I have seen lives where people have practically died in the process of taking care of somebody else. And even though it's painful in their lives, they continue to do so. Or people who have just suffered in situations in their lives that are really devastating, totally self-denying, absolutely no respect or dignity for the self, and they continue to do it because they believe somehow that there's going to be a payoff somewhere. That's a lonely place. And most people don't talk about it. A young man, he was probably a couple years younger than I am, so he was young to me. Yesterday, after the race had begun, he walked over to me and he thanked me for somehow bringing the truth together about the religious, spiritual reality and the struggle for mental health that we don't talk about enough. He lost his brother. He lost him when he was only 20 years old. And he's now a man probably in his 60s. And he said, "A day does not go by when I still feel what I felt the day it happened." I can only imagine if I lost a son or a daughter, how you never get past that. You never recover from that. There's no getting away from that reality. And when Jesus is talking here this morning about, "I will send you an advocate," he's talking about, yeah, the Spirit coming and being with us. And following my commandment to love one another. Yeah, he's talking about our being advocates for one another and helping one another and supporting one another and being there and making a difference and looking behind the tears and behind the smiles on people's faces and expecting something good to be a part of whatever interaction you have so that their lives are bettered. We get that. But we need to be very careful. I used to use the example of if somebody falls into a deep hole, you don't get them out by jumping in the hole with them. You have to somehow stay on the top and deal with the hole. Another way of putting it, I also taught people that I'd had, did spiritual direction with and all the rest of it. You know, Jesus was the Messiah. You don't have to be. Somehow we take responsibility for fixing things that we cannot fix. Sometimes we go overboard in investing in ourselves, so much of ourselves in other people's lives, that we lose sight of our own. That's a very unhealthy place because that too leads to a loneliness and an abandonment. So the words I'm speaking to you today, brothers and sisters, are really more witness than anything else. But I do believe that every one of our lives is touched to some degree by someone who is emotionally distraught or mentally challenged or even the extremes of suicide. There are no answers, but there are caveats. You can't fix it, but you can be there. You can learn to recognize it in people's lives and help them get direction and support. If you know anybody, encourage them to be in touch with a professional. If you come across somebody who is very sad and lonely, be a friend, but don't become the savior. Be a friend. And friends are equals. This is a foundation for next Sunday. Friends have equality, and that's why there is love. When it gets unequal, it's no longer healthy. Okay? So let us pray today, and in your prayers periodically, remember those who struggle with mental illness. And pray for those who have survived the tragedy of suicide and live every day with the reality. And do everything you can to make the world a brighter place, which you already do. This group of people is the most exceptional group of people. You do it every day. I don't say it enough, but I say it to a lot of people. I ask, what's it like in Bethlehem? You got to come and visit, because this is a marvelous community, and you do it already. Just don't fall into the traps, okay? Then it gets messy, and nobody wins. Okay, just a little caution. Pray for all of us. Amen. Spirit of God, we invite you into our presence, into our hearts, into our minds, into our very being, to enlighten us in how we ourselves may use the gifts and talents and abilities and the wisdom of our experience to better the world around us. Give us the wisdom to understand that healthy relationships have boundaries, that therapeutic relationships have boundaries, that healing and working to support someone else always has boundaries. But we don't so identify with the other that we lose ourselves and our lives in the process. Give us the wisdom to see as you see, that we may recognize in the eyes of our brothers and sisters a cry for help, or an outreached arm for support, or somehow an indication that the darkness is getting big and maybe overwhelming. Help us to be especially sensitive, not only to the mentally ill and to those who are perhaps suicidal, but to all those people whose lives are out of control with drugs or alcohol, with the various forms of, what we call it, extremes in life, where they put themselves in danger for whatever reason. Remembering that we cannot fix anyone's life. Change happens when an individual chooses to change, not because someone outside decides they should. And give us the encouragement to pray always for those who have difficulty changing. We know ourselves how difficult it is to change, even some of the things that bother us within our own selves. Give us, Lord, the courage and the wisdom to see the differences and always to be bearers of hope that life can come out of any situation if indeed we are willing to change and to become part of the life process. Holding in our arms this day these people and all those brothers and sisters of ours who struggle just for survival around the earth, those who live in war-torn areas, those who live under political despotism, those whose lives are marginalized by war or injustice, those who are questionably alive because of famine and lack of water, those who have no control by which to feed their children, to give them medicines, or to give them quality of life. Hold all of us in your loving hands. Breathe your advocate spirit upon all of us and help us to change the world by being who we are and bringing your presence by what we do and say. We join our voices now with all the people of this earth. And together with one voice, we call you as loving God, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.